This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm your host, Chris Brown, and honored that you're tuning in today. Now, this typically is a show where we talk about finances, and we talk about relationships and those kind of things. So today is one of those days. So feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And, you know, some of the other days when we're not taking calls, we have guests on here. And I know during Olympics week, we had several former Olympians on here. That was a lot of fun. If you want to go back and check that out, you can. And then sometimes I just get on here and I just teach. And yesterday was one of those days where I did that. Yesterday I just decided, you know what, I think we're due to talk about different facets of stewardship. And so I want to encourage you to check that out. You can check it out at stewardship.com, or you can check it out on iTunes. And those of you who are listening in the podcast, of course, you know that. But if you're listening on the radio, that is a great resource for you. Stewardship.com and iTunes. You know, one of the things I talked about yesterday, and just kind of give you a quick glimpse of that teaching yesterday, was four phases of stewardship. And this is their first time ever listening in. Stewardship means managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. And these four phases, as we kind of go through the phases of stewardship, and you never really arrive somewhere where you're the ultimate steward. I hate to take away the punchline. It's kind of this ongoing cycle in our lives. And so these four phases, what I hope it allows you to do is that I hope it allows you to kind of assess where you're at. Where are you at in the journey? And sometimes we can go backwards in our journey, and just it's just good. It's good self-awareness to know where we're at and where we need to be. So phase number one is just a flat-out awareness, a mental awareness. In the mind, you realize that you're not the owner, that he's the owner. You fully comprehend Psalm 24:1 that says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that you're not the owner. And you realize your role. Your role is 1 Corinthians 4:2, that those who have been entrusted to be not owners, those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. So you realize what God's role is and what your role is, and mentally, not necessarily in the heart yet, but you have it. You've got this awareness. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. The renewing of your mind. There's this awareness that you're not the owner, that he is. The verse 2 goes on to say, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Funny story, that passage, Romans 12:1-2, maybe too much information for you, TMI, right? I was dating a girl in college, and she wouldn't date me, really, really pretty girl, would not date me until I memorized those two verses. That's a little bit of proof that I went to a very, very strict fundamental college. But anyway, so you go from awareness to acceptance. And this is where you take that 18-inch journey from your mind to your heart. Acceptance. This is accepting the responsibility that you're the manager. So you start to put some accountability in place and some systems in place. You start to restructure those goals that you have for a higher purpose, not just for your selfish ambition. Things start to look a little different. That third phase is action. So you got awareness, you got acceptance, and you got action. We're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers, okay? Not just hearers. It's where you start to make different decisions. You're not perfect, but James 1:22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. This is where you start to resolve confrontation quicker. You start to resolve confrontation with more grace. When it comes to finances, you start to put things in place for not only today, but also for tomorrow, like verses like Proverbs 21:20 tells us and Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And then the fourth phase is advance. This is like the evangelistic component. This is where you become an ambassador, where you're focusing in on others and making sure they come along the journey with you with this whole idea of stewardship. You ambassador the movement. It's not just about, you know, getting this right, but you're passionate about other people experiencing it as well. A life with purpose and a life being lived out the way that God designed it. Wise, generous, and eternally minded. So much more on all of that right there at stewardship.com or on iTunes in yesterday's episode. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. And it looks like we've got from Wellington, Florida, this is Michael. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help?
Yeah, I wanted some godly advice on paying off debt. My wife and I have been married about a year. I'm a physician completing residency. I've got about $500,000 in student loans, and we've been doing the Dave Ramsey plan since before we were married and paid off some debt this year. We just had a little one who's about 3 months old.
Congrats.
Thanks. So we're talking about potential to make a lot more income. Right now I'm making about $50,000 a year, working 80 hours a week. I'm doing some moonlighting, and so we're up about to about $60,000 a year with my wife working part-time. I have the potential for that to go up to about $200,000 a year if I work 80 hours a week, you know, doing high-stress work, or I could make like $146,000 a year making, you know, spending more time with my family, kind of 9-to-5 job, and my wife could also go back to work as a nurse, making up to like $50,000 a year. She works full-time.
Yeah. So when does your income increase?
This next summer in June.
Oh, good. So it's not that far off.
Yeah.
So until then, I would do, I'd push yourself. I'd set a budget for like, I don't know, 40K. Now, when the next summer comes and you're making the $150,000 to $200,000 a year, I wouldn't change your lifestyle. I wouldn't change your lifestyle. And I would do that for 2 or 3 years and pay this thing off. That's the only way you're going to get out of this. So you're going to increase your income, but you've already proven that you can live this way.
Yeah.
So I would keep it maybe up at 10% just to give yourself a little bit of reprieve, or maybe plan a couple, like every quarter you got a great celebration that you can do, maybe a couple $1,000 to, I don't know, go on like a boat cruise or go, I don't know, go to the Keys or something. But that's the key. The income's going to increase, but your lifestyle's not until you're out of it, which would be about 3 years, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, my main question on that is if we could go, you know, gazelle intense on it and pay this off in 3.5 years, you know, if I work 80 hours a week, she works 40 hours a week, and we have, you know, her family take care of the baby, that would be like, I think we get burned out doing that.
Yeah, the key there, Michael, is scalability, and I think that's a little extreme. There's a land in between. I would do something in between. I would definitely push yourself, but you want to make sure you're not pushing yourself for just 2 months and then you die. You want to find somewhere in between. And that high stress, high pressure medical field, and you're doing that for an extended amount of times, I don't want you working on me if you're super tired and you're just completely fatigued. So there's a land in between. Maybe you work a 5-year plan. You're working it hard and you're living way below your means. And that's part of the penalty for, I don't know if it's penalty, but part of the weight that comes with going in the medical field. There's high cons and high pros. So,
yeah.
But
well,
six and a half years.
My wife wants to move to Louisville where her family lives because we can, I'd like to move there too because we'd have family to take care of our daughter so we could work a little bit more. But the payment up there is about 20% less. So just her working full time would would have to be to make up for the loss difference in salary for us moving out there. And if I make $146,000 a year, which is where the average is for someone who's not even starting, I'd probably make less than that, $146,000. It takes about 25 years to pay off, I figured.
Ugh. Yeah.
We're trying to figure out a balance between, you know, family and paying this off.
Well, the family thing is, I think, separate. That 20% difference, you're going to – the 20% increase in pay in West Palm is probably just paying for cost of living.
Yeah.
So the family thing is just, it's a separate issue. If you want to be around family, I would do it. Regardless, I'd work a 6.5 year plan wherever you're at.
Okay. And what about taking a mortgage?
I wouldn't do it yet. I think you're a little premature. I would attack consumer debt first.
So get that paid off and try to plan getting like 10% down or 20% down.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that yet. Consumer debt first, get that all out of your life first, and then work on the mortgage next.
Oh, this is really great advice. I really appreciate you giving clarity on this.
Well, Michael, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, Rosemarie, I see her post on Facebook. I see you there, Rosemarie. She says, great show, learn something every day listening to it on my way home. We appreciate you listening in. Folks, you can connect on Facebook. You can connect on Twitter, also on Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Chris Brown on Air is the handle.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt, looking to buy a home. But you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. And it looks like next on the line, we've got from St. Paul, Minnesota, this is Dan. Dan, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help?
Okay, so my wife and I are considering a kitchen remodel project, which would cost about $20,000. Our house is on the high end in the neighborhood. We owe about $260,000 house that's maybe valued at about $330,000. We also have some rental real estate with debt of about $560,000, and it's worth maybe $900,000. We have no other debt. We have two children in 7th and 10th grade, and we have very little saved for college for them. And we're putting about 8% into retirement right now. I'm 51. My wife is 53. And what I'm wondering is, does it make financial sense to spend this money on the kitchen project, or are there other priorities that should be addressed, such as paying down real estate debt or college funding?
You got a lot of good variables in there. They're not all linked together. So let me talk about the kitchen remodel first.
Okay.
You obviously don't want to price yourself out of the neighborhood, but you do want to think through remodeling some things that need to be taken care of. If the buyer expectations, when you go to sell, that the buyer expectations are going to be have that remodel happening. So if you still got a 1980s kitchen and you're in a nicer neighborhood, that would be an issue. So when you're thinking through this, and folks listening in, how much do we do for a kitchen remodel? It's typically about 10 to 15% of your home value. So it's the percentage of square footage of the kitchen. Let's say it's 200 square feet. And it's a 2,000 square foot house, it's about 10% of your square footage. So that's how you figure that out.
Okay.
So typically for a kitchen, it is 10 to 15% of the home value. So for a $200,000 house, $20,000 would be the amount. So you are well in those ratios, because I think you were telling me that your home value is in the 300s. So The amount doesn't seem crazy, but what I want to encourage you to do is start with the functional. If you have anything in the kitchen that's functionally obsolete, take care of that first. But if it's just a style preference and you're just changing the style, I would make sure you're going to be in the house for like 7 to 10 years, because really what you're doing there is not really a home value thing. It's just something that you want to enjoy. And you guys have put yourself in a financial position where it's not necessarily, that's not crazy. But you just got to ask yourself, am I doing this for, I'm investing into the home, or am I just doing this because I want to? And you guys got to answer that question yourself. Now, regarding the priorities, I really want those rental homes paid off. I know it sounds like your primary is paid off.
No, we owe $260 on it.
Okay. What I would do is I would try to liquidate one or if not both of those. And I know it's creating probably some positive cash flow for you, but I would want that primary paid off. And I'd want to put some money into your college, into your kids' college. What age were they again?
There's 3 and 6 years until college.
Okay. Because if you don't liquidate them, what you're going to do is you're going to borrow to take them to college. If you can cash flow it, college, and though I wouldn't worry about college then if you can cash flow it, because only being 3 and 6 years out, you're not going to get a whole lot of interest gained anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they were 3 years old and 6 years old, that would be different. But here's the deal. If you were to cease to be able to work, or you were to graduate to heaven tomorrow, you would be putting a pretty big burden on whoever's here. And so if you liquidate those rental homes and you have a paid off primary, you're putting the next generation in a good spot. So I know that's fortunate for you, you're in a good spot that you've got twice the amount of equity as you do what's owed. That's a good place to be. But I think you'll sleep a lot better at night if you've got one less liability and you've got a paid off primary.
Okay, that makes sense.
All righty.
Great. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thank you, Dan. All right, folks. If you've been thinking about investing lately, it is hard to dive right in. I know. You need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. Well, imagine working with an investing professional who explains every single detail in a way that you can actually understand it, who offers guidance for your situation, not theirs, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you, no matter your age, your account balance, or your financial knowledge. That's what you get when you work with a SmartVestor Pro. So if you need someone who you can count on to help you take control of your future, here's what you do. You go to stewardship.com and you click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor Pro. That's the terminology you're looking for. SmartVestor Pro, that's right there in your area. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and find a pro. That's the link. With SmartVestor to get started.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're grateful for what God has done and the progress that you're making as part of our stewardship family. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next on the line from Chicago, Illinois, this is Chris. Chris, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I help?
Oh, I'm going to make this short and sweet. My question is, money that is received for my children for baptism, birthdays, and other events, would it be appropriate to use that towards our debt snowball? With the intention to accelerate that, to get quicker into investing into their college? Or should we appropriate that into an educational savings account or a 529 plan immediately?
I think you got to ask yourself a couple questions. One, what was the original intent of the gift?
Okay.
And it's probably not for that.
Okay.
I can totally see the wrestle and the justification, because obviously the Bible's clear about freeing yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, the borrower slave to the lender. So there's lots of pure motives there. But I think we've got to be careful as parents of what we're mm-hmm. teaching our kids. And really what you're doing is you're borrowing from them.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be borrowing, say, hey, if it's $100 here, $50 here, $200 here, what you're doing is you're borrowing from something that was to them, and you're going to pay them back later, even pay them back maybe even better. It's not necessarily a bad motive. It's just something you're teaching them. You're teaching them that it's okay to borrow. And you just got to be careful what we teach our kids. So I wouldn't do it. I would try to pay off that debt in a different way, just as intense. Take that same passion, take that same intensity, and channel it a different way.
Okay. So with that money, then, instead of it sitting in just a regular savings account, you would recommend putting it into an ESA or a 529 plan?
Yes, and I'm glad you addressed the second half of your question again, because that is true, and I neglected to say that. That you definitely want to do that. Don't just put it in some money market account, or don't put it in some kind of treasury bond, or that's what happened to me. I had, well, you know, when I was like 18, 19 years old, I looked down at this file and I had like 10 treasury notes of $50 that were then worth 55 or 45.
Yeah.
And it didn't grow over all those years. So, 529 plan or an ESA would be two great vehicles.
Okay. Sounds great. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Me and my wife both have student loans. Those loans are broken up into, let's say, three or four different loans.
Okay.
When we look at the amounts, should we pay off the lowest amount as a loan total for, say, me and her, or should we pay off the lowest amount that it's broken down to in those loans first?
Yeah, so if it says 20 grand and it's broken up into $5,000 deals, or
yeah,
the one's five, one's six, one's four, and one's three, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want to do the 3,000 one first.
Okay.
Yep. And then you do the next biggest, the next biggest, the next biggest. Okay?
Okay. Thank you for everything you do.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. Just a little bit of a follow-up from Chris's original question about, what we teach our kids, you know, with the way we engage with them, with financially speaking. I do want to let everybody know there's a great article on stewardship.com that teaches us how to teach our kids about money at every age, whether it's elementary, tween years, teenager years, and it's right there at stewardship.com, front and center, 9 ways to teach your kids about money. So make sure you check that out. And it looks like we got an email here from Cynthia. Says, "Hey, Chris, thank you so much for continuing the True Stewardship ministry. It blesses me each and every day. My question today has to do with dreaming. My husband and I started going through the Financial Peace University class, home study with our teenagers, and just completed week 2. My husband and I were talking about what it would be like to have money in the future. We have been in debt for so long and have committed to raising our kids that it seems as though we've lost ourselves. We don't even know how to dream anymore. Do you have any suggestions on how to start looking towards the future with hope and a dream, when you feel as though you've lost yourself, you lost your voice and your purpose? Thank you and your team for enriching our lives each day, and may God richly bless you for all you do." It's a sad question. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick," and it's clear that this has kind of happened in Cynthia's heart and her life. Cynthia, my advice would be, first of all, identify God's work in your life in the past and discuss it and journal it. The past, how he's moving in your life presently, even the small stuff, God, proof of God's involvement and engagement in your life. Obviously, you're saying that you're not seeing big things, but document all movement that you decide or that you decipher that God is moving. God is moving. Let me just tell you that bluntly. But you've got to actually intentionally look for it and realize your identity is not in money, but you are a child of God. You've got to understand that. So you've got to pay attention to of what God's doing in your life. You also got to pay attention to who you're hanging out with. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that bad company corrupts good character. Another translation says good habits. If you're hanging around people who are negative and not dreaming and not looking towards the future, then maybe you're doing that as well. So make sure you choose enthusiastic friends. You know, opportunity is, it's attracted to passion. It's attracted to enthusiasm. If you don't have any faith in yourself right now, borrow some of mine. I've got faith in you. I know you're a child of God, and I know what God says about you. He wants you to win. He's for you. And so that would be my suggestion. Hang around with the right people, document his movement, and then start making some enthusiastic and passion-filled decisions in your life that put you in a great position for great opportunity. God, I ask that you would be there with Cynthia right now, that you would give her a glimpse of your love for her. You give her a glimpse of the future that you've got for her. In Jesus' name, amen. know that God is right there beside you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Folks, we've learned a lot today. We've learned about different phases in life of a steward, the tenacity that's needed to get out of debt, things to consider when gearing up for a kitchen remodel, some things to think about when handling those little monetary gifts our children receive throughout the year. And we've learned all about that great new free SmartVestor resource at stewardship.com. You guys make a pretty good show. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, those of you who'd like to get to your investing questions answered by one of our SmartVestor pros, go to stewardship.com. Just click on Chris Recommends and then find a pro. That's the link you're looking for to get started with an investing professional right there in your area. It has been a pleasure cheering you guys on. Here at Ramsey Solutions, we're already proud of you. God bless.